The American Claimant by Mark Twain, Explanatory, and The Weather in This Book. Explanatory. The Colonel Mulberry Sellers, here reintroduced to the public, is the same person who appeared as Eschol Sellers in the first edition of the tale entitled The Gilded Age years ago, and as Beriah Sellers in the subsequent editions of the same book, and, finally, as Mulberry Sellers in the drama played afterward by John T. Raymond. The name was changed from Eschol to Beriah to accommodate an Eschol Sellers who rose up out of the vasty deeps of uncharted space and preferred his request, backed by threat of a libel suit, then went his way appeased, and came no more. In the play, Beriah had to be dropped to satisfy another member of the race, and Mulberry was substituted in the hope that the objectors would be tired by that time and let it pass unchallenged. So far, it has occupied the field in peace. Therefore we chance it again, feeling reasonably safe this time, under shelter of the statute of limitations. Mark Twain, Hartford, 1891. The Weather in This Book. No weather will be found in this book. This is an attempt to pull a book through without weather. It being the first attempt of the kind in fictitious literature, it may prove a failure. But it seemed worth the while of some daredevil person to try it, and the author was in just the mood. Many a reader who wanted to read a tale through was not able to do it because of delays on account of the weather. Nothing breaks up an author's progress like having to stop every few pages to fuss up the weather. Thus it is plain that persistent intrusions of weather are bad for both reader and author. Of course, weather is necessary to a narrative of human experience. That is conceded. But it ought to be put where it will not be in the way, where it will not interrupt the flow of the narrative. And it ought to be the ablest weather that can be had, not ignorant, poor-quality, amateur weather. Weather is a literary specialty, and no untrained hand can turn out a good article of it. The present author can do only a few trifling, ordinary kinds of weather, and he cannot do those very good. So it has seemed wisest to borrow such weather as is necessary for the book from qualified and recognized experts, giving credit, of course. This weather will be found over in the back part of the book, out of the way. See Appendix. The reader is requested to turn over and help himself from time to time as he goes along. End of Section 00. The American Claimant by Mark Twain. Chapter 1. It is a matchless morning in rural England. On a fair hill we see a majestic pile, the ivied walls and towers of Cholmondeley Castle, huge relic and witness of the baronial grandeurs of the Middle Ages. This is one of the seats of the Earl of Rossmore, K-G-G-C-B-K-C-M-G, etc., 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 who possesses 22,000 acres of English land, owns a parish in London with 2,000 houses on its lease roll, and struggles comfortably along on an income of £200,000 a year. The father and founder of this proud old line was William the Conqueror, his very self. The mother of it was not inventoried in history by name, she being merely a random episode and inconsequential, like the tanner's daughter of Fellaes. In a breakfast room of the castle on this breezy fine morning, there are two persons and the cooling remains of a deserted meal. One of these persons is the old lord, tall, erect, square-shouldered, white-haired, stern-browed, a man who shows character in every feature, attitude, and movement, and carries his 70 years as easily as most men carry 50. The other person is his only son and heir, a dreamy-eyed young fellow, who looks about 26, but is nearer 30. Candor, kindliness, honesty, sincerity, simplicity, modesty. It is easy to see that these are cardinal traits of his character. And so, when you have clothed him in the formidable components of his name, you somehow seem to be contemplating a lamb in